So you can see the slide there that my message is Thanksgiving prayer. I just wanted to share a story from the first Thanksgiving. You may know the story. But in the early September of 1620, 100 settlers boarded the Mayflower and set sail from Europe to the New World, seeking religious freedom, with the intention of establishing a settlement that honored God. They sought to sail to a small island off the coast of Virginia. However, the Mayflower drifted off course and landed on November 11th at Cape Cod in Massachusetts, some 250 miles off course up the coast from their intended destination. The two-month voyage across the Atlantic was difficult and rugged. Two young men died en route, and one baby was born on the ship. Rough storms and winds caused them to go off course, and while they considered turning back south to northern Virginia, the strong headwinds and dangerous tides caused them to land at a deserted shore that would become known as New England. William Bradford, who eventually went on to, you can see on the next slide, William Bradford, he was the eventual governor of the colony for 30 years. He wrote in his Journal of Plymouth Plantation, you can look this up, it should be available online, of Plymouth Plantation. He says, thanking God after landing at Cape Cod, he said this, having found a good haven and being brought safely in sight of land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries of it over again to set their feet upon the firm and stable earth, their proper element. Bradford and other pilgrims were strong believers in the providence of God, by which God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least. The pilgrims endured a brutally harsh first winter in 1621, whereby half of their company died, partly due to the severity of the winter and the lack of adequate housing, as well as scurvy and other diseases. However, in early spring, the pilgrims encountered friendly natives, one of whom, next slide, Squanto, you may have heard of, God-fearing, English-speaking Indian. As a young boy, he was captured and brought to England, where he learned many of the agricultural practices of Europe. And Bradford wrote that Squanto proved to be a special instrument of God for their good, beyond their expectation. Squanto taught them how to survive the harsh land, teaching them how to plant corn, harvest fish in the bay, and hunt deer. Michael Medved, in his book, The American Miracle, Divine Providence and the Rise of the Republic, points out that the pilgrims just so happened to encounter the only Native American on the continent who both spoke English and mastered European agrarian techniques that rescued the new colony from starvation. Later that year, in October 1621, they celebrated the first Thanksgiving Day, as you can see in the picture there. The first harvest after the long, hard winter they endured, thanking God for his providence. Think how good that first Thanksgiving would have tasted. Nathaniel Morton, Bradford's secretary, said this, and thus thy found the Lord to be with them in all their ways, and to bless their outgoings and incomings, for which let his holy name have the praise forever. Being now well recovered in respect of health, as has been said, they began to fit up their buildings against winter and received in the harvest and had great plenty of fowl and fish to their great refreshing. The first Thanksgiving was not just a celebration of what the pilgrims had, but it was a celebration of God's providence and faithfulness in sustaining them and leading them through affliction and hardship. Therefore, just like the pilgrims, we too must pray with thanksgiving. We must pray with thanksgiving in every circumstance. And this is my point. His providence, God promises good to all who are in Christ Jesus. The thrust of this encouragement by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi is that in all things, we must pray with thanksgiving. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day in every situation. Paul in this passage gives two imperatives or two commands. He says, first, do not be anxious about anything. And two, let your requests be made known to God. The Greek in verse 6 is simply nothing be anxious. It's just two words in the Greek. Be anxious, nothing. Be anxious about nothing. And then the but in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, as if God could be made known to anything that he doesn't already know. We must be anxious for nothing, but when we are anxious, we must get on our knees and pray to the Lord, giving thanks to him. The Lord gives similar commands in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:25, when just after saying, you cannot serve both God and money, says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Instead of being anxious, we should seek first his kingdom, saying in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We are not to be like the Israelites in the wilderness, who in Exodus 16:3, who after being delivered from slavery in Egypt by many signs and wonders and miracles by the power of God, later complained and grumbled pretty quickly, by the way, saying what that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. The Apostle Paul elsewhere in Romans 1 says that a symptom of unbelief and rebellion against God that provokes his wrath is a lack of thankfulness. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, their foolish hearts were darkened. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Rather than worrying and being anxious about the cares of this life, we should cast our anxieties onto him, for he cares for us, 1 Peter 5, 7. We are encouraged to devote every aspect of our lives to prayer to God, and that our prayers, petitions, and requests are covered with thanksgiving. I don't know if you're like me and you like your Thanksgiving meal plate to be everything all touching. I don't know if you like everything touching, but I just like to fill my plate. And yeah, I don't mix them up, you know, all together like a smoothie. I'm not a crazy person, but I do like all my food. You know, they're distinct, but they're all touching. It's just full, but it is covered in gravy. Is covered in gravy. Likewise, our prayer life is full of various kinds of prayers, from adoration to confession to petitions and supplication, a plate brought before the Lord. Everything is covered and saturated by thankfulness to God. So why? Why? What is the basis or the foundation of our thankfulness? Why should we be thankful when we pray? Paul encourages thankful prayer, not on the basis of prayer itself as this some magic formula, but on the basis of the promises of God, particularly with regard to the promise of Christ's return and the promise of Christ's peace, his future, the future hope and our present peace. We pray with thanksgiving because God promises future hope. Paul grounds the imperatives to not be anxious, be anxious for nothing, and pray with thanksgiving with the indicative, indicating something is true back at the end of verse 5. Before the passage I read, the Lord is at hand. It could also be rendered, the Lord is near, and likely refers to the future coming of Christ at his second coming. While it's not technically a part of verse 6, the sentence, the Lord is at hand, might be the implied reason or basis for why we should be anxious for nothing and pray with thanksgiving. Jesus elsewhere in John chapter 6, verse 27 says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has set his seal. Thus we are to look to the future hope of eternal life that Jesus promises for all who believe in him. James 5, 7 and 8, be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The same Greek phrase the Lord is at hand. The Apostle Peter also refers to the hope that we have, the coming of the Lord, in 1 Peter 1:3-7. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the right time. In this you rejoice. Now, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Next slide. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, his coming. Our hope is in the coming of the Lord. Though it seems as though the waiting is long, we must consider his promise. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. Therefore, we must pray with thanksgiving in everything, being patient, established in our hearts, trusting that God is faithful to his people and will not abandon them, but will bring him to himself when Christ returns. No matter what anxieties we face in the life, we can entrust our souls to God, because in his providence, all who are in Christ will end up with Christ, who is coming to us soon. I had a friend that said whenever she feels anxious, she knows whatever happens, I'll end up with Jesus. We pray thankful prayers, not only because of the future hope we have, but also because of the promises of the present, his promise of peace. We must pray with thanksgiving because God has promised present peace for those in Christ. Paul makes it clear in verse 7 that the result of our praying with thanksgiving is that the peace of God, surpassing all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace here is not a worldly peace. It's not a om kind of meditative peace of this world, but it is the peace of God and guards or protects our hearts and minds for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are united to Christ. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace we get from thankful prayer is not through some self-help practice of inner peace, but is a heavenly peace, a peace with God that is experienced by those who are united to him by faith, by trusting in Jesus' person and work of redemption on the cross. The peace of God protects us as we keep our minds fixed on him by faith. From Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Just as Paul was kept in prison as he wrote this epistle, so the peace of God keeps and guards our hearts and minds in the midst of difficult and afflicting circumstances. Therefore, despite the anxieties of life, the anxieties that we feel all the time, we must pray with thanksgiving. We must seek his face on the basis of his good promises to his people in Christ, promises of good, of future hope, and of present peace. Some of you know, but around Thanksgiving, my dad passed away in 2016. It was the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And this Thanksgiving on the 27th will be the 9-year anniversary of his passing. While the years following were some of the most difficult years of my life, filled with grief, loss, and anxiety about the future, being 24 years old at the time, what has sustained me through it all has been the providence of God. While there is much beyond my understanding and lies and mystery that I just do not understand, I found profound comfort and peace in the truth that God is in control and promises only good to his children. My peace lied not in my change of circumstances or in the absence of anxiety, nor in my prayers themselves, which were weak and often lacking in faith. It was not in my holding on to God, but in God holding on to me and leading me through by his hand. I now have a deeper faith and a sense of gratitude, a more profound trust in the providence of God, and peace beyond my understanding that the Lord is with me no matter what I face. I can pray not with complaining or grumbling, but with thanksgiving, knowing that he provides for me and that works all things for my good in his glory. Therefore, pray thankful prayers, not just at Thanksgiving, but all year long, because of the providence and the promises of God, which are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I recently heard a couple who, during a difficult time in their lives, they went on a walk together and they sang the song, "Count Your Blessings, Count Them One by One." Count your blessings, see what God has done, is what God has done and will do. That is the basis for our thanksgiving. When we feel anxious and overwhelmed by the cares and anxieties of this life, we must bow before God and pray thankful prayers on our own, with our spouses, our families, our church, and small groups. We need to pray with thankfulness because it reminds us of his faithfulness to what he has promised to his chosen people. Pray with adoration. Pray with confession. Pray with supplication. Make your requests known to God. But let the leaven of thankfulness permeate and expand the entirety of our prayer life. He already knows our prayers, and he has promised good for his people. Because when we pray thankful prayers, we drown our anxieties and unbelief in the providence and promises of God. Therefore, we must boldly approach his throne of grace in our times of need, making our prayers, petitions, and requests covered with thankfulness, known to God, resulting in peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But the good news of God's promises and providence is only for you if you are in Christ. If you've not placed your faith or trust in Jesus Christ alone, then you are not a Christian, and you do not have peace with God, and cannot experience the peace of God. The peace that Jesus gives is not as the world gives, because the peace he gives is peace with God through his own blood, through his death on the cross, shed not for the righteous, but for sinners. Through faith alone in Jesus, we have peace with God, and at Christ's return, we will experience his grace and mercy rather than his wrath and judgment, justice. So put your faith in Jesus today that you too may have peace with God and be able to stand before the Lord on the last day when Christ returns on the clouds with full assurance, with your head raised, that you too will be received to his heavenly kingdom, that you too are written in the book of life. So despite all the afflictions and anxieties and difficulties of leaving the old world behind, as those pilgrims did, setting sail beyond the horizon to the unknown, to the new world, on that first Thanksgiving day, they prayed to God with thanksgiving for his providence, enjoyed the peace and the delights of his blessings and provision. We too, likewise, no matter what anxieties we face, pray thankful prayers. Pray with thanksgiving, covered with the gravy of thanksgiving, not just for what we have, but thanks for the hand that has provided it all and will provide, for he who has promised is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is you and to you alone that we offer our thanksgiving. Our flesh is of no avail, but your spirit gives life. Lord, give life to our spirit, give life to our ingratitude, give life to our unbelief that we must provide for ourselves, that we must care for ourselves, that we must work on our own and do the things to provide security for ourselves, Lord, it is your peace that guards our hearts from anxiety. It's peace, your peace, and the future hope that we have in Christ that is the grounds of our thankfulness. That thankfulness is the antidote of our anxieties. Lord, help us to cast our anxieties onto you. That when we are anxious, when we are fearful, when we are worried, Lord, help us to cast our anxieties onto you because of your promises, because you care for us and care for your people. Help us to hold fast for those who are struggling here today with anxiety, with fear. Lord, help us to help them to come to you. Cast their anxieties onto you and be grateful to you that and hold fast to your promises with all that they have, that you indeed will bring to completion on the day of Jesus Christ the completion of the work that you've begun in us. Lord, encourage us to pray thankful prayers, not just because of what we have and what we see, but because of your invisible hand of providence that works all things for our good in your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.